So now I want to talk about living with COVID-19. I want to talk about how we're going to get through all of this. Well, in my opinion, this is only the start of all of the misery that's going to come upon the earth. This is a practice run for the saints. This is a practice run to see, where do you stand with God? This is a nothing burger. Really, it's really nothing compared to what is going to come upon the earth. This is a gentle persuasion by God to see, where are you going to stand with your faith? Are you going to get up in arms? Are you going to storm the castle of the government? Are you going to demand your rights and your opinion? Or are you going to demand that you have absolute freedom? Are you going to demand your sovereign right? Well, you know, the Lord has set the government for us that we may live peaceably. And the government is set up for us to live peaceably, so that the government punishes the evildoers and restrains evil. And he also sets the government up so that the government collects taxes, so that the government can use the taxes righteously for a functioning government. That's what all governments of the world are set up for. They're set up to let us live peaceably, and they're to run law and order, and to use the taxes rightly. And you know, they're supposed to operate righteously. Now, not all governments in the world operate righteously. You may be in a country where your government is a communist government. You may be in a country where your government is allows every type of situation to coexist under the name of good humanity. And you may see all sorts of abominable things and practices. You might think you're living in Sodom or Gomorrah, and you're like Lot, that who had his righteous soul vexed daily because of the unrighteousness of the nation he lived in, of the society he lived in. You might live in an oppressed society, a communist society. You might live in a fascist society. You might live in whatever society you might live in. It doesn't really matter, because God set them all up. And he set them up for the purpose that you would live peaceably. Now, the government's job is to punish evildoers and to use the taxes rightly and to make righteous laws that we can live in peaceably. And the church's job is to preach the gospel and get people saved. So what do we do if we have a dysfunctional government? What do we do if we have the wrong government that we would love to have? Well, rather than storm the castle, which is unbiblical, what we should do is we should pray collectively for the leaders to change their hearts. Because, you know, if you stand outside Parliament with placards and all sorts of things to entice the government to make laws, when you step back, the government's still the same. They've made the law, but then you're going to have to come back again and again and again and placard for different laws. The most efficient way is to pray that the king or the prime minister or the president, that their heart is changed, that their heart is softened towards the will of God. That's the way you change government. That's the way you change policy. That's the way you change society. So we as Christians, we have the greatest influence in government now through our prayers, not through lawless placarding and demonstrating and burning places down and all of these things that people want to do to change government. Our prayers are much more powerful and much more effective than placarding and doing all that other stuff. That is of the flesh. That's a natural way of doing things. But we pull down strongholds, systems of thoughts, by our prayers. The Bible says through our spiritual warfare, we pull down strongholds through the anointing. It breaks the yoke. So, you know, instead of a country who's scared, who doesn't know which way to go, you could pray for the leaders to have wisdom and understanding and knowledge. God will give them that so they can navigate, so they can make laws that are beneficial for the saints, so that we can preach the gospel. But instead, we go to the news and we listen to this and this and that opinion. We get all riled up. We get all sorts of positions we want to take ourselves into, and we become unscriptural. We're supposed to be for the government because the government is supposed to be for us. Now, if the government is not for us, we pray and we change the heart of the president or the king or the prime minister. That's the way it works. If you're in China and you've got an oppressive government, then you pray that the Chinese Communist Party changes, that God can change the hearts of all of the operation of the government. Now, if they don't, then God will replace them. But God needs your prayers first so that he can operate in that realm. He doesn't wait for you to storm the castle and pull it down through violence. No, he waits for you to petition him through prayer and supplication in the spirit, praying in tongues, so that he can answer that prayer. Now, if they don't respond to the prayer, then God will take that government employee or that president. He'll take them out of the picture and he will replace another one. And then you have to pray for that guy. That's how it works. Now, I've got a whole lot of stuff in this section here on praying for your government and standing up for your government. You have to follow the laws of the land. And if the laws are unjust, then you need to get them changed. How do you change them? You pray to the Lord and he moves on them and they start to make righteous laws. Now, if the government makes laws that are anti-biblical, that tell us to go against God's word, where to resist. That's the only time we're supposed to resist. Not because we like this government and or that political persuasion or we're whatever, because everybody is in every other position. There's a dozen and a half different positions that people take. We don't want that. We don't need that. What we need is to be full of God, to be hearing from God, what do you want for this nation? And we need to pray into that. God will act on our prayers. It's that easy. You know, if you understand, even in Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, Daniel gets taken to Babylon and they get captured by the Babylonian army and they get taken to Babylon and they spend 70 years there. So Daniel gets taken there. And what does he do? He works with the government. God says, he says that Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. You'll find that in Jeremiah chapter 25. That's amazing. Nebuchadnezzar, he actually served other gods, but he was God's servant, right? So what did Daniel do? He acted righteously and he changed the heart of the king. He didn't go and placard. He didn't go and go out on the streets and burn buildings down. What he did was he actually served the king and he honored him and God blessed him. And he gave Daniel a great environment to live in. And every time the enemy tried to stir things up and turn the heart of the king away, then Daniel, what did he do? He prayed and the king was changed. Because the king saw the righteousness in Daniel. The government needs to see the righteousness in you. The government needs to know or to see or be persuaded that Christians are for law and order and peace. So that's what we're supposed to do. So with the COVID-19 and the jab, I mean, there's lots of people who are saying, you know, it's the mark of the beast, the world is wanting to get everybody jabbed so that they switch the switch on and we're all going to turn into zombies. Oh, whatever. What such rubbish. I tell you, you know, we walk out in the street and we get all the carcinogenic stuff from the vehicles. You know, we have GMO food, all of this stuff. And even though it may not be good for us, we can pray and we can ask the Lord to protect us from these things. When we eat our food, we give thanks. When we walk out onto the street into a toxic environment, we bless the Lord and we say, Lord, protect us. And he does that. You know, and if you have to take the jab because they make it law, or if they decree that you have to take the jab for the good of all of the nation, then you're following them. You're doing what the Lord asks you to do, to live peaceably with all men, not to cause a fuss. And if you don't like the idea of getting a jab, just when you do, just say, I command it to be water. There you go. You're asking the Lord to bless it and to sanctify it so that nothing can hurt you. But when they actually come up and say, you're not allowed to preach the gospel, you're not allowed to do this, then you go against that because that's against the word of God. You know, Jesus said to Peter on the coin, he said, what's the inscription or what's the image? He said, that's Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar what is unto Caesar and give unto God what is God's. So you're in a nation, you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, you give unto the nation or you give unto the government what its fair due is, and you give unto God what he desires. That's how it works. We're not to be militant. You know, in the first century when Jesus was around, there were zealots, and they wanted to pull down the Roman government in Jerusalem because they didn't want to be oppressed. Jesus didn't talk about pulling down the government. He said, you'll pull down strongholds by prayer. He said, you'll change the hearts of men by prayer. That's how he did it. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they expected the Christians to fight alongside of them when the Romans came in AD 70 so that they could protect the temple. The Christians didn't do that. They left. They were told by Jesus, when you see these things happen, take off. And they did that. And the Jews were not happy with the Christians from that time on. You know, God didn't ask us to fight in men's wars. He asked us to fight in heaven's wars against darkness, against principalities and powers, against rulers in darkness. That's what we're supposed to go against. So these ministers and these government employees and kings, they're all being influenced by darkness. So what is it your job to do? You pray. You intercede for them in what way? As if they're a person who needs help. As if they're a person who needs guidance, who needs ministering to. So we've got a guy in Victoria, one of the states of Australia. His name's Dan Andrews. And there's a lot of Christians who really don't like Dan Andrews. So I say to them, look, I say he's a minister of God. He's... They don't like that very much, do they? I say, he's a servant of the Most High God. And they go, how can Dan Andrews be a servant of the Most High God? I mean, the guy likes gay and lesbian marches and he puts gay pride flags on his buildings and he persecutes Christians who try to change gay people and convert them. I can understand that. But, you know, this is what you do. You gather together and you pray over Dan Andrews. And you say, Lord, I know that he was put there by you. He's not doing a very good job. So, Father, change his heart. Give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding to be a good servant of the Most High God. And God will answer your prayer. Dan Andrews will stand up one day and say, you know what? We need to follow the principles of the kingdom of God. That would be a miracle, and that would be that's doable. But you know, most Christians are all scattered and they're all disunified with all different theologies and different political persuasions. And they're all, how can they get anything done if they're all all separated and scattered. And who's scattering them? The world and its political system, the media, all the talk on the street, and the talk amongst Christians, which are not being led by the Holy Spirit. They're being led and they're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And these people are gathering together in all their different little groups, thinking that they're being led by God. You know, if you're all led by God, you should all have one mind, one way, one spirit, one direction, one truth, one everything. But you're not. You know, you get on the internet and one guy says this and another guy says this, and God told him this and God told him this and God told him that. And they don't all happen. So they're wrong. There are false apostles. There are false prophets. And they're just liars. They're being deceived. Yeah, they don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a false prophet. They believe that God's leading them because their theology's wrong. Their theology's weak. True theology is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be on the right track. God isn't divided. He has one plan and one purpose, one direction, and if you get with the will and purpose of God, you'll be following that one purpose with God, and there'll be no disunity. So where there is all disunity, it shows you that's the work of the enemy. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now that word perish is like a loaf of bread. If after a while it can't hold itself and it starts to go all moldy and it just rots away. That's what perishing means. When you're hanging on a cliff with your hands and you get tired and you can't hold on any longer, you let go. That's what the word perish means. You let go. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, people let go. They degenerate. They become weak. They become tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So have a vision. How do you get a vision? It's pretty simple. Pray in tongues and let God give you his vision. Pray in the Holy Spirit and let God transform your life and give you his vision for your situation, for your town, your city, and your nation, for your president or your prime minister or whoever is in charge. So that's what we need to do. Now, we're entering into the last days, and there's going to come a fork in the road. And I tell you what, if you're not plugged into the Holy Spirit now, how are you going to hear God when it really hits the fan? How are you going to hear God when we see world war, when everything gets shaken, when all of our society gets shaken, when everything that is normal just goes to water, when everything that we see and hold dear isn't there anymore? How are we going to hear God if we can't hear him in this simple, very, very light form of affliction? Yeah, you know, God has sent us all to our rooms, to our houses, to think on him. He separated us out of our churches and he's caused us to go to our room and meditate on him. And a lot of people are just not doing that. A lot of people are just, whatever they're doing, getting on the internet and looking for another Messiah. They're looking for another leader, another spiritual leader to lead them out of the mess they're in. But you know, the Holy Spirit is inside you. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, other people may be led by the Holy Spirit and they can speak into your life because they're speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But you know, the most safest way that you can walk in the Lord is to first be led by the Holy Spirit. That's the safest way. Because we're coming to a place where apostate churches are rampant. We are in a place now where everybody has a different biblical opinion. There's all disunity. Everything's falling apart. Where there's no vision, the people perish. So what we do is we give unto Caesar what is under Caesar, and we give unto God what is under God. And we walk in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God's plan and purpose for today. Not tomorrow, next week, not 10 years from now, but today. What safety do I need to walk in today? What opinion and understanding do I need to have today, Father? And we pray for our leaders so that they will be soft in their heart and that they will They may not come to the Lord, but they'll do righteous things so that we can live peaceably. Why? So we can get on with preaching the gospel unhindered. We need to walk in society unhindered. If we don't have the vision that God wants to give us, we're just going to go off and do our own thing. If we get motivated by someone's political persuasion, we're just going to go off somewhere else and do our own thing. And we may be found fighting against God. Read these scriptures in this section about the government and the responsibility. Read in Romans chapter 13. Have a look at all of these things that I've spoken to you about. And see if the word doesn't say and back up what I'm saying. You know, it's the church's responsibility to bring salvation to society. It's the government's responsibility to make society function properly. And if government doesn't make society function properly, we need to pray so that the government gets wisdom and knowledge and understanding to function properly so that we can responsibly preach the gospel and get people saved. You know, so Paul, you know, he encouraged all manner of prayer and thanksgiving, and first to the government, those to kings. Why? So that we can live peacefully, so that we can preach the gospel. Peter did the same, you know, and it's all there. It's not just one scripture, it's dozens of scriptures I've got here. Our attitude to the government is very important. They're the ministers of God. If we fight against the government, we're fighting against God. That's what the Bible says. We need to not refuse the government, but we need to go with them and their decrees. Only when they contradict or go against the word of God, tell us to go against the word of God, then we resist. Peter and John were brought before the Pharisees and they said, "You will not speak any more about this Jesus." And they said, "No, we're not going to do that." And they got put in jail and an angel let them out. They got whipped, but they stood their ground. We don't stand our ground for something that is not biblical or something that's outside the biblical parameter. Whether we like this government or this guy or that guy or want this or that, if it's not, if it's got nothing to do with the Bible, we just have nothing to do with it. We have no position. So, you know, when it comes to taking the jab, I say to everybody, look in your heart and see what God wants you to do. Now, I'll give you my advice on the jab. Millions and millions and millions of people have taken the jab and only a few of them have gotten sick and died. A very small percentage. So it's probably just as bad as other injections for other things. Probably just as good or bad as or every other needle that we get. Some of them have great side effects and some of them don't. But we have Jesus Christ, and by his stripes we are healed. And no weapon formed against us will stand. So if you stand on those scriptures, you're pretty safe. Do what the government tells you to do. Don't be militant. Honor the government because God put them there. Pray for them if they're dumb as rocks. And God will honor your prayers and you'll live in a good society. Now we're coming to a point, we're coming to a fork in the road where everything's going to go pretty bad. And if we can't hear God now, how are we going to hear God when it really is really bad and confusion and fear is right through the land? How are we going to hear him then? This is a walk in the park compared to what's coming down the road very soon. So I ask you to sit down and seek the Lord, not be persuaded by all sorts of different ideas that are going around. And when the government says to do something, do it. If it's against the Bible, don't do it. Pretty simple. Get behind the government, do your civic duty, because the Lord says to do your civic duty. Read the scriptures. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. I've gone over them and over them and over them. Okay, I've meditated on these so that I can help you guys. But I think I'm right. I can't find any holes in this. When the government makes a law to do something, you do it. If it's against the scriptures, you don't do it. Very simple. Okay, so we'll leave it there.